I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Peters, we count down to 2 weeks away. Not far away. We're going to give away a couple tickets at home opener. Dave, thank you for joining us tonight. How are you?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing well tonight. How are you?
Good. I always think about this stuff. You know, when you used to market opening day for the Metrodome, compare and contrast that to what that's like today, because my guess is – you know, there's a knee-jerk reaction to, of course, how it would be different. But there has to be some very different opportunities, too.
Well, you know, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, opening day is opening day. It was special for every year we've ever had it in the Metrodome, Target Field, wherever. If you're a baseball fan, I think it's one of those days. It's just a tradition, and a lot of people come out as a family, come out as part of a company, come out as part of a group, whatever it might be. And so, obviously, with the Dome, you know, we had, you know, the one thing that was much different there is you never feared weather. And I think that's one of the things that we're dealing with here in Minnesota is just we're still dealing with the reality now playing outdoors, and people tend to have a lot of more anxiety about what the weather's going to be like, and they try to predict what it's going to be like on March 28th. And, you know, I'm optimistic we'll play that day, and it'll be great, and it'll be a festive day. But it's always, you know, I always tell people, Mike, I don't worry too much about opening day. That'll take care of itself. Like we'd be a sellout. I worry more about the other 80 days in terms of what we're going to do to market those.
Is there anything that you could do to have fun with that part of it? Have you learned anything about Target Field? I don't know. I'm talking off the top of my head here. You know, guess the temperature. Who's going to bundle up the most? Is there anything that you could do to kind of make fun of ourselves?
Yeah, we can. You know, I think it's a fine line because you know, you roll the dice a bit, but, you know, if it's 55 degrees and sunshine, I think it works to your advantage in terms of just the way the weather's been here the last 6 weeks. I expect that when the sun's out next week and we get temps in the high 40s into the 50s, which is expected, you know, there's going to be a lot of folks with spring fever here. And I think that will work to our advantage in terms of building excitement for the opener. So, sure. You know, I think that the weather is the weather, right? We're not going to be able to predict it, but we're optimistic and frankly hopeful that we're going to have a great day on the 28th and get off to a good start as we open the 2019 season at home against Cleveland.
Here's a semantics question. I know that right now they could make it, and maybe it does look green right now, but Larry DeVito and his staff, people have asked me this. They say, well, there's no way the snow is going to be melted by then. Well, it's not, but you can melt it. What literally happens? Do they shovel it off, or is the heating system from underneath and it simply melts down?
Well, a combination, Mike. We snow blowed the field in terms of the outfield. So that's all been done over the last week. Frankly, the rain has helped. It eliminates a lot of snow. And our heating system, which Target Field obviously has a state-of-the-art heating system below the grass. So our grass, I think that system's up to like 58 degrees, 59 degrees now. So, you know, in the weeks to come or the days to come, I think you'll see that turned up even further. And we'll be mowing that lawn, I would anticipate, once this rainy spell passes. And I don't worry about the playing field. There's no snow on our playing field right now. If it was dry, we could play tomorrow.
Sure.
So we're working to get rid of the snow, not just in the seats, but in all the other areas where people need to access. And we have some work to do on that front here over the course of the next week.
But that's doable. What's that system like? What's that like to organize that when you get, you know, a massive snowfall like we've had in February? Is it a combination of volunteers? I'm sure you guys have learned a few things over the years, but how do you activate that?
Well, you know, the reality of it is, Mike, we've got some experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through it over the 10 years we've been there. Last April, you'll remember, we dealt with a significant amount of snow right before the home opener, and then again, in the middle of April.
Yeah, the blizzard. Yeah,
So over time, you know, we've learned some things that have worked, some things that haven't worked in terms of how we could use hot water, in terms of how we can use volunteers, in terms of where we can move snow, where we can't. And you know, again, I don't worry much about snow. I worry more about air temp going into opening day. We want to have a comfortable day there, and If it snows in advance, we'll get rid of the snow, and the ballpark will look pristine. It'll look beautiful.
Now, the flip side is last time that I talked to you, you said people do indeed in this day and age, maybe it's internet-driven, Travelocity.com driven, I don't know, but you did see an influx of people that came down to spring training this year, and I don't know how you measure it, but your thought was many of them were late reservations that said, I'm getting out of here and I'm going down south.
There's no doubt about it, Mike. We see it. There's a direct correlation. The harsher the winter, the better we do in terms of spring training attendance and the number of people that travel to Southwest Florida. That's not just our numbers. That's what the Lee County Convention Visitors Bureau would tell you. So we've had a really good spring. I think we're fourth overall in the Grapefruit League in attendance, and I expect that's really going to continue here the next 2 weeks. We've got a number of sellouts on the books, and that's one of the benefits, I suppose, to having spring training in Florida, is people from Minnesota can get out of here, get down to watch some baseball, and we've certainly taken advantage of that.
One thing about the Twins, and this is probably true in most markets, but certainly everybody's unique. We all have different theories about best attended months and why, and before school gets out, state fair, September they go back to school. We've got all these different theories. Do you find there's a most important month for the Minnesota Twins during a Major League Baseball standpoint, from a fan standpoint, meaning a month where you need, is it April because you need to get off to a good start to get advanced ticket sales? Is it July because that's when the most people are going to be sampling it? Is there a most important month?
Well, if you can just make the assumption that you hold your own over the first 6 weeks, maybe 10 weeks of the season, and even if you're just 500 going into June 1, Mike, or going into Memorial Day, there's no doubt in my mind that the most important months for us from an attendance perspective are, you know, the Memorial Day through Labor Day window. You know, that's the prime window for us, particularly playing outdoors at Target Field here in Minnesota. That's what we need to make hay. And, you know, our attendance in April, attendance all over the league in April is going to be soft. I can predict that right now. But we expect that prime window to be where we're really going to drive. And hopefully, you know, when you combine great outdoor weather, a beautiful game day experience at Target Field, and a winning baseball team, a competitive baseball team, that's a recipe for success.
For sure. Hey, Dave, thank you very much for some time. We'll do it again soon.
Anytime, Mike. Be well.
You too. Dave St. Peter, president of Minnesota Twins. 2 weeks from today, they'll play a baseball game out there. And, you know, barring a downpour or rain or anything like that. And I guess I forgot to throw this Dave's way, but I know the answer to it. Other people have said to me, Why are they opening the season in March? I don't remember ever having an opener here this early. And that's true. And the reason is that in the most recent collective bargaining agreement, the players decided that they wanted more time off during the season. So it's longer than all-star break, et cetera. So the owners decided they still want 162 games, 162 gates, 162 television and radio opportunities for their hometown teams. So the only way that they could accommodate that was by starting games earlier across the board. Now, the next question that people say is, well, then why don't they open in the warm weather states and just play in the warm weather states in the domes? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, the Twins didn't want to be at home during the Final Four. They made a calculated decision that week, as best they can, leave that for the basketball and the basketball hospitality and all that goes with it. So, therefore, if you can't be here during the Final Four, then you need to be here earlier than that. You have no choice. So you just got to roll the dice on that. And that's critical to Major League Baseball working. The other part of it is not all these warm weather states, they don't always want to open at home either. They have a number of different reasons that they calculate in, too, in dome states, etc., that they don't necessarily want to open at the, you know, they don't want to have a home opener every year as their first game of the year. They like to go on the road sometimes to start it. So those are the things that factor in. It's not as simple as, well, we're in Minnesota, you can't open until the middle of April or something like that. Major League Baseball should approve. It doesn't work that way. You want to see that home opener? I've got tickets to give you. One trivia question is all you have to answer, and that's next. Welcome back, Sports with the Max, taking you up to the Timberwolves. I have a question for you. It's a trivia question. And if you get it correct, it's a Twins trivia question. If you get it correct, you will win a pair of tickets to Twins opening day on March 28th against Cleveland. Pretty good team coming to town. We'll take down all your information. All you have to do is answer one question correctly. You know how simple I like to make it on you fans out there. I want you to win. The last time the Minnesota Twins won a World Series was in 1991. That's the last time they won a World Series. We all know that Jack Morris finished it in Game 7 and had this unbelievable impact on the team. He was great. He was a staff ace. That said, here's the question. Who was the opening day pitcher for the Minnesota Twins in 1991? Who was the opening day pitcher for the Twins in 1991? We all just remember the World Series and, you know, Jack Morris and Game 7 and all this. But who was the opening day pitcher for the Twins in 1991, their World Series championship season? Answer that correctly, and we will give you not one but two tickets to see the Twins in the opener. The Minnesota Timberwolves play tonight against the Utah Jazz right here on WCCO coming up in about 10 minutes. Now, here's what you watch for the rest of the season. And watch really close. Watch for who plays. Not how many minutes. Watch for who plays every game. Watch for who has nagging injuries that sits out a lot. Because this is the litmus test right now. You want to find out what you got going forward? Then find out who will make themselves available on a regular basis. Find out who it is that will play even when they have nagging injuries and the team's out of the playoffs. You want to watch something really closely? This is something you're not going to see. But believe me, when you talk to people in the league, people that know the game, people that understand the game, one of the critical pieces to being a head coach is to be able to have the difficult conversation. And so right now, you're at this juncture where, for all intents and purposes, the Timberwolves are not going to make the playoffs, barring a really strange sequence of events. So can Ryan Saunders convince some of these players to play anyway, to want to play? I don't think he has to worry about the big cat. I think Carl's committed to showing up every night. Actually, Wiggins' track record for games played is pretty good, too. He's missed some this year. But I think the first 2 years of his career, he didn't miss a game. So that's there. Taj Gibson as well seems to show up and play on a regular basis. But you get beyond that, and you ask yourself some really good questions. Henry Lake and I were talking about it last night. You know, here's Jeff Teague, talented guard. Talented guard. There's no question, from what I've been told, that they tried hard to trade him at the deadline. They wanted to move him on, and they couldn't get a deal done. In part because he's got $19 million waiting for him on a player option next year. So why would he want to leave? In the offseason, they will try to trade him, no question. But who's going to take on a $19 million salary? You know? Who would want that? And then some say, well, they get cap relief out of that. Yeah. I get so tired of that term, cap relief. I get so tired of that term, cap relief, because cap relief is another way of saying it ain't going the way that you were hoping that it would go. But just watch. If you want to forecast if Ryan Saunders deserves this job, see how many guys play the rest of the way. See how many people will play for him, understanding that his job's at stake the rest of the way. Just watch that. Let's go to John in Stillwater on line one. John, the question that I asked was, in 1991, the Minnesota Twins won the World Series. We all know that. And we all remember Jack Morris in Game 7, the World Series, final game of the year. But that's not the question. The question is, who was the opening day pitcher in 1991?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I know it wasn't Mike Maxx.
Nope, I volunteered, too. They wouldn't let me.
Really?
I had the sanitaires on, the leggings, and TK looked. He just shook his head, and I knew then that I needed to do something else.
Oh, boy. I'm going to say...
Can you get to this before we get to the Timberwolves halftime?
I'll say Scott Erickson.
Good guess, John. Very good guess. Scott Erickson, all-star that year until he was injured. Shaletta says that's not correct.
Oh,
okay. Let's go to Colette in Dayton on line two. Colette, you're on.
Hello, my guest is Dan Gladden.
Dan Gladden would be a really good guest, and he did pitch once in his career in mop-up duty, but he never was the opening day starter. I don't think ever. I know he was not in 1991.
Okay.
But you're right to come to us, Colette, with that answer. Let's go to Ryan in Elk River. Ryan, you're on.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
Good. I would say it's
Bert Blylevin?
Yep.
Excellent guess. Blylevin was an opening day starter many years for the Minnesota Twins, but since he was not on the team in 1991, it would have been very difficult for him to pitch that game.
That would have been.
Yeah, but I like the way you're thinking, Ryan. Let's go to Bill in Forest Lake on line four.
Radke?
Brad Radke, he opening day starter many, many years, but in 1991, he was in high school, so he couldn't have done that. Thanks, Bill. Let's go to Andrew in Minneapolis on line one. Andrew.
I'm going to go for the guess here of the opening pitcher of Paul Abbott.
Paul Abbott, another one. Boy, I haven't heard that name for a while. It was not Paul Abbott. But I certainly appreciate that you can go that far down Trivia Lane.
Thank you very much for the chance.
You bet. Let's go to Dan in Hudson on line two. Dan, you're on.
Jack Morris.
Thank you. I did it again, Shaletta. I threw out the old trick question, right? I set him up with my fastball, and I came back with the changeup. Because I talked about how we all remember Jack Morris pitched game seven. Thus, trying to think along with the audience, they would think, well, he wouldn't say that unless Jack was not the opening day pitcher, right?
Yeah.
But it did not preclude him. It did not mean that he could not also be the opening day pitcher. Correct, Dan?
Exactly.
I'm not surprised that you got it, Dan. I'm surprised, though, that you live in Wisconsin and you were able to figure that out.
Hey, I'm a big Twins fan.
All right, buddy. Do you want to go to that opener?
I sure do.
All right, you stay on hold. We'll take care of you, okay? Jack Morris was the opening day pitcher in 1991. He also pitched the last game. Pitched the last game of the year in 1991 as well. I just like having fun with you people. That's what this show is about. Timberwolves coming up next against the Utah Jazz. Let's take one final look at the weather before we do that. Overnight evening rain showers, flurries late, low of 28. Friday mostly cloudy, windy and cooler, high of 35. Saturday more sun, winds ease, high of 36. Sunday, wake up to 22, high of 38 degrees. Monday, plenty of sun, high near 40 degrees. All that to look forward to. Currently 35 degrees, light rain, snow, fog, mist, and dare I say it, breezy. The Timberwolves and the Utah Jazz are coming up next on WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.